Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you guys.
Smooth.
Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. You know, of course, I want you to holler at me, so give me a call, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you're afraid to call me, you know, I always ask you, you can shoot me your email, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Your questions, comments, concerns, I got you, because I'm a nice guy like that. Also, if you're a little afraid to give me a, well, I know y'all not afraid to give me a call, but you can jump into the chat room if you're ghost listening, like I know a lot of you do. Y'all ghost listening, and you like telling me, oh yeah, that sounds good. Just jump in the chat room and say what you got to say. Don't be scared. I ain't going to tell nobody that you listen. Anyway, social networking. Hit a brother up. There's a Smooth Drama page on Facebook. Add question, request to be added, and we'll hook you up. Also, I mean, wherever you find Smooth Drama, Instagram, I have an Instagram now. So you can look me up on Instagram. I have pictures. I've decided, well, it was decided for me by one of my correspondents. You're going to have Instagram. So I have Instagram now. Yay. I've got all of it. I don't have Snapchat, though. So if you're one of my Smooth Drama correspondents and you would like me to have a Snapchat, I'm not taking any videos. I don't have the wherewithal to just take my pictures and just video myself talking about, hey, I've got a bruise on my thighs. It's not me. I know. I'm being way too superficial. I'm just saying. But I thank y'all for adding me on social network. We can talk and enjoy each other's company. It's a beautiful thing. Speaking of beautiful things, I was at a comic book convention this weekend in SAC. Shout out to all my SAC people. Man, it was hotter than a mother. But y'all was out there doing your thing. I mean, and we had a great time. But there's always some stuff that goes on at these comic book conventions. Whew. I mean, you know, everybody talks about it. There's that the unique circumstances that surround these times, because we've kind of like evolved back into the days where Caucasian people feel like they can do whatever and it's okay. Had an incident where we have our booth. You know, I'm a comic book publisher, some of you don't know. So we have our booth and we're trying to get into the booth, and there's a Caucasian woman who was sitting at the booth, and we're like, I think this is my booth. She's like, well, I don't know. And she's just sitting there just doing her thing. We had to go up to the front like, hey, there's somebody at our booth, da 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 da. They're like, no, that's your booth. So we go back and she's like, oh, well, I guess this is yours. And she walks right across the way to her booth. Now, you know, there's that saying, if looks could kill, she would have died a violent and horrible death. I had one of those, but it was too much work I had to do to get set up to even worry about that. But I was, and I use the word, I was perturbed. I was disturbed, perturbed. Any other word that you can use that just says that I was mad as and I wanted to choke somebody out because she knew it wasn't her booth. She probably took the number down, and she's sitting there. Just saying. Put trash all up in the booth, all that. You just, and then offer to clean it up, nothing. But that's just me venting. I'm going to move on to what I wanted to talk about, which is what I just got through talking about. The bizarro world type deal. Now, I know y'all always hear me saying the bizarro world, and I guess I should explain, as always. Comic book nerd, bizarro is the exact opposite of Superman. He is a clone of Superman that came out wrong. Everything that he does or says is backwards. So if he says he loves you, that means he's going to punch you and try to kill you. If he says he hates you, that means he likes you. Get it? So basically, bizarro is the absence of logic. Thus, when I say bizarro world rules, I'm saying the absence of logic, which is what we're kind of operating with nowadays. I mean, we've been operating with it since day one, so I can't say that it's necessarily a shock, but when you see stuff, it makes you laugh. Case in point, bizarro logic. Rachel Lindsay. Some of you know Rachel Lindsay because she's like the first black bachelorette, like, on TV. And, you know, it had her talking about, oh, the real pressure of being the first black bachelorette as racial tensions run high. And, you know, she's doing the crocodile stuff. I feel like I'm burying myself completely. I'm sacrificing myself. And I'm putting myself on hold to do this all over again because that's how serious I am about this. You know, and she's talking about the pressures and how emotional it is and how she feels about being a black woman and what that is. Talking about she's getting pressure from so many different ways being in this position. And, you know, on the whole, you would say, yeah, man, the pressure of being a black woman on TV. You know, maybe they want you to say or do some things that are degrading, whatnot. You know, we've seen how there are roles, you're being a maid, whatnot. You have to play drug addicts. I mean, the certain roles that you get as a black woman. But see, unfortunately, her logic fits in the bizarro world type deal because we're talking about hell. It's a reality show. And, you know, she's talking about she's putting herself out there, but I'm saying that, okay, you're putting yourself out there, but it's a reality show. It's not really real now, is it? I mean, basically, she gets to get up there and pretend like she really, really likes these guys and that she wants to be with one of them. And they pay you to do that, by the way. Not that they, you know, I'm sure relatively speaking it's better than having the job at Mickey D's or Burger King or whatnot, where they're talking crazy to you all day. I mean, she gets on there and pretends like she cares. And, you know, she just brought the black woman angle and the racism. And I'm like, yeah, you may experience some racism, but I'm thinking it has nothing to do with this show. I'm sure that it's got nothing to do with this show. And the racism, I mean, they got you as the first black bachelorette because they're like, hell, we want black people to watch this network. That's kind of it. You know, but hey, carry on. I hope it works out for you and you can find love and then y'all can break up real quick. And speaking of finding love and breaking up real quick, there's a since we talking about bizarre world stuff, there's the New York professor who he's got 22 children and, you know, about 18 different women. And, you know, it's celebrated, it's funny. He's a sperm donor. He's like a past show guest, Trent Arsenault, where he donates his sperm to lesbians, people who want to have babies and don't have access to sperm. Now, there's no negativity to him, even though there are some women who have sued him. He's been doing it for a decade. I mean, some women have sued him. It's like five of them have sued him, even though he donated for free. And so he kind of like hangs around a little bit, according to this article, around the kids, whatnot. Because apparently, if you go to a sperm bank, it can cost you $300 to $4,000. And you know, I keep reading about this stuff and talking about this stuff, and I'm like, man, I really need to start a sperm bank. I mean, not that, I mean, because I think sperm banks are, I'm not stereotyping, but like for white people use sperm banks. I, you know, you don't really hear, even though there are some, you know, black women, and I'm guessing black lesbians who would use people like Ari Nagel here. I'm always stuck by the comparison that, you know, it's funny. He's a great guy for having 22 kids. Now, if this is a brother, I mean, you know, there was a movie, one of my favorite movies, She Hate Me, where this actually happened and he had like 19 kids. And it was, you know, it was a movie. It was a funny movie. It had some serious undertones, but it was funny nonetheless. This right here, you know, we don't celebrate black fathers who have a bunch of kids. Now, say they're sperm donors and whatnot, and we know that they're not sperm donors, that they just don't want to, you know, take care of their responsibilities, even though we find that the people who don't take care of their responsibilities represent not the majority, but the minority. It's a misnomer that there are no fathers in the hood, when in actuality there are a lot of fathers in the hood. But I'm going off task here. It's just to say that, you know, this guy, there's nothing negative about him. They have pictures of him smiling and laughing and giggling, and they talk about how the women talk about him and how great he is to be around. You know, there's some merit to the argument that, hey, he's helping those who need help. And I would argue, in light of all the police shootings, and you know, I've talked about this before, the universe correcting itself, in light of all the police shootings and the mistreatments of black folks here in America, you know, having all these babies kind of evens it out a little bit. But there's a negative connotation if I did this as opposed to him doing it. So I see if I can start up this sperm bank where we just have dudes that just sit in there, and like, you can either get it from the cup or you have some beds in the back and you can just get it good old fashioned way. They say that he does that too, where he like holds the lesbian woman, hold the hand so they can ensure that the sperm gets where it's gonna get, and he does it the good old fashioned way. I'm like, there are a lot of brothers, some prolific brothers who they're like, hey, you trying to have some kids and I ain't gotta take care of them? Like, come on. Come on, maybe we need one of you ladies out there. Y'all need to be the manager. You know, some nurses get together like, hey, we make sure that you're eating healthy. It could be like a sperm farm, black man sperm farm. I'm just saying, it's a business waiting to happen. It's a lot of brothers that be on the corners. You can just like pick them up. Hey, I got a job for y'all. Because if we talking about like 300 to 4,000, I guess it's depending on how fit you are. Hey, you can come up, right? Just by dropping some sperm, helping the lesbian. I mean, we in the Bay Area too. Like advertise, hey, we got some big, strong. That's almost sound like slavery. I'm probably gonna need to stop now. I'm sorry. I'm gonna move on from that and go into something else, something similar actually, because they have these studies. And one of the studies was saying that men should ejaculate to reduce the risk of prostate cancer. Now, most folks know this already. They said people who ejaculate at least 21 times per month during their 20s were 19% less likely to develop prostate cancer than those who ejaculated 7 times per month or less. And it also says that if you're doing it in your 40s, you reduce your prostate cancer risk by 22%. Now, most people know it's also prostate cancer, and also it helps with your eyes. Apparently, it helps you to not only prostate cancer, but it helps your eyesight. And I was like, man, I guess it didn't help Bill Cosby, but maybe that's because he was, because he's legally blind, but maybe he wasn't ejaculating. He just wanted to spit on it while they were asleep. Anyway, I'm going on break. Bizarre world segment is over. And since I'm being bizarre world, I'm gonna say this before I even play the song. Don't judge me. All right, I'm in bizarre world mode, and actually, I think this song is kind of funky. And every time I hear it, it makes me want to boogie. So if you don't want to boogie when you hear this song, it's not my fault. Don't judge me. It's all on you. This is Francis Yip. Green is the mountains.
Oh,
summer. Smooth Drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drummer with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was Francis Yip, Green is the Mountain. And I know y'all was dancing. I know y'all was, I felt it. Y'all was boogieing a little bit, like, hey, you just needed some bell bottoms and some, and your, whatchamacallit, your fly open shirt. It was on, huh? Your afro was going in the wind, and 347-826-7435 is the calling number. Once again, that calling number, 347-826-7435. All right. So, how many people cheered? Well, no, I ain't gonna say cheered. Just let's just give it up for Bill Cosby. He got off. Yeah! Yeah! Bill Cosby's innocent. Yeah. How many people were celebrating when they heard that yesterday? Come on. Say it. Everybody called in their foot. Everybody hit me up like, yeah. All freaking, all y'all celebrating like that. Nobody was happy about Bill Cosby. I mean, I don't know. It had to be probably the most deflating, quote unquote, victory ever. It's like, we're talking about, you know, because I saw it was some dude was like, yeah, where are them black celebrities at? That was not defending Bill Cosby. Where were they at? He gave them money. Where was Spike Lee? Where were all these cats? Sidney Poitier, Harry Belafonte, where they was at? It's like, you do know he admitted to raping a bunch of women. Yeah, they charged him with one, and yeah, they tried to railroad him by making the jury go back. Like, you know what? Y'all didn't say guilty, go back. And they're like, still not guilty. And so, basically, you know, these folks is cheering. I'm like, y'all still are cheering really, really hard for a rapist. An admitted rapist. It ain't like there's speculation. Ain't no speculation. He's like, yeah, I did it. I did it. So, you know, it's like, it probably was like the worst black victory ever, if you want to call that a black victory. Because, remember, the OJ trial was basically, you know, it was like, all of America was split. Like, you know, black folks was like, hey, is he going to get off? You know, and as we know, white folks was all shook because OJ was guilty as hell, but got off. I mean, it's like Bill Cosby. But the difference is, that was like the first, and it's like, so we're like one and 2,898,000. I mean, that's our record. We got the one victory with OJ, but they came back in the rematch and knocked us out because OJ went back to jail anyway, and they gave him 33 years for something that people only get probation for. So they kind of won, but, you know, it still was our victory. A black dude got away with killing the white person, white people. And it was like, when everybody knew he was guilty, but he got off anyway. It's like, that doesn't happen. Now, conversely, you look at Bill Cosby, it's like, it's different because one, he ain't the first. OJ got that distinction. Two, this is Bill Cosby. I mean, nobody ever, you know, I mean, OJ didn't have half the love that Bill Cosby. I mean, Bill Cosby was like everybody's ideal father on TV, right? It's like, man, I want my father to be like Bill Cosby. Can't say that shit now. But, I mean, I watched it. I watched them celebrate till, you know, my stomach started hurting. Like, yeah, Bill Cosby, innocent. Now, they, of course, they're saying they're going to try him again, so they just, they're gonna bring up another woman from his infinite list of women who are accusing him of rape. So, I'm just saying, yes, he's black. But, come on. I know. It's like, well, white people get away with it. Why can't we get away with it? And it's like, when you put people down for being immoral and sick, when you stoop to their level, does it make you better? Is that what equal rights is all about? We want the right to be repugnant criminals too. Just saying. I mean, because that's basically what the argument is, right? There are a lot of white guys that get off for doing bad stuff. And boom. Now we've got a black dude that got off for doing something really, really horrible. That he admitted to. I'm going to keep saying that. That he admitted to. So, yay, Bill Cosby. He got off. Yay. Anyway, speaking of who didn't get off, though, I don't know if y'all remember in the past couple of weeks, I talked about this texting suicide case where a young man killed himself. He was texting with a chick, you know, talking about cyberbullying, right? They're going back and forth texting. Which is a virtual relationship which started in 2012. And the chick, she kept urging him to kill himself. The time is right and you're ready. You just need to do it, she wrote one message. And then in another one, the dude had got out the car because I guess he was going to carbon monoxide asphyxiate himself. And he had got out the car. He changed his mind. She's like, what? Get back in. And she's like, she went out of her way to help him kill himself. Well, convince him to kill himself. And so he did. So she was charged. She was charged, for killing her so-called boyfriend, Conrad Roy III, with her words. Now when you think about that, as far as cyberbullying goes, it seems like something that would be, you know, for us, for most people, you say, nah, man, can't nobody cyber bully me. You gonna push my buttons or you gonna say some stuff over the internet and it's gonna drive me crazy. I mean, because it's like the law is saying that it's involuntary manslaughter charge that can be brought against you. And if you engage in behavior that is considered reckless enough to cause harm. Now, I'm a conspiracy theorist, so I have a different slant on it. So, yeah, it's a white woman today. she got involuntary manslaughter. Now, is she going to get the full sentence? I don't know. Probably not. But that's besides the point. Because we're in Bizarro World, right? Remember, we start off Bizarro World. What makes sense is not what we're saying. It's the exact opposite. If it doesn't make sense, that's what's going to happen. Now, in this case, you start thinking about cyberbullying, and you know how some of y'all, I see y'all on Facebook, y'all be posting your lives, works, and everything that's going on with you, and going back and forth, you know, going to Facebook jail, as they call it. Y'all take it real seriously. Like, this internet stuff be real serious. And I'm like, yeah, you can threaten me on the internet. I mean, because I had a guy, Swanigan or Flanagan or whatever the hell his name was. He's like commenting on every post that I had done for like the past 6-7 years. And, you know, he said some provocative thing that, you know, if I knew him and it was like some face to face stuff and he said it to me, I stepped to him like, hey, look, man, I don't know you like that. So we shouldn't have these kind of words. But on the internet, you know, I just X out the comment, you don't exist no more. It's kind of over with. And I ain't got to talk to you. And if I had to block him, I would, but I didn't have to block him because I didn't engage in it. And so he went away. Maybe. He might come back tonight. But I'm digressing. The point is, you know, with the cyberbullying law that's being established here and the precedent that the legal experts are saying that could be set is if you say some things and some things happen to somebody, you could be held liable. You could be charged with involuntary manslaughter. Now, some of y'all, you understand how serious that is. Some of y'all don't understand. As you know, y'all on the internet wilding, talking reckless, talking crazy. You know, you like these rappers. You're like these rappers. Rap snitches. MF Doom, rap snitches. Be your own star witness. Remember, there was a rapper, I can't remember his name, earlier this year we talked about it, who he went to jail because they used his rap lyrics against him in the court of law. And some of the stuff that y'all put on Facebook, talking about people, talking crazy, I'll beat your ass, da 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 da. Lord, hold me back because I'll do this, I'll do that. And, you know, those are like, they would be considered threats under this law now. It's precedent that's been set and put out there. So, yeah, texting suicide verdict sounds like it's got nothing to do with you. But it kind of has everything to do with you. So, yeah, they made somebody, you know, she encouraged him to kill himself, but ultimately he made that decision. She just helped him. So if something else happens to anyone, now your words may be used against you or anybody else you know. If y'all was talking crazy and something happens to him, you created that negative environment that caused them harm. Just saying. Watch your words on the internet very closely because, hey, it can catch up to you. I mean, it's like this dude on the Bryant, who school district fired him because he made a statement. Mr. Dodds is his name. He made a statement talking about gay people on Facebook. And so after his statement got out, they fired him, you know. And to me, I'm like, you know, I don't condone it, but you know, there was that freedom of speech. If you hate someone's lifestyle, whatnot, you can come out and say it. And it's like, whatever, everybody knows you're a hater. That's what happens on the internet. But here's the thing. We know there are people who are terrorists, and you can make that threat. But it seems like if they'll fire a guy because he would say that, quote unquote, fags should, you know, go to hell, whatnot, which is a religious belief. You say whatever the hell you want. Now in Monta Vista, there's a group of teens who threaten to kill all the black students at the high school. I mean, and nothing happened. Monta Vista High School, Cupertino, California, 10 students created a list of black students who they wanted to kill, posted the list on social media outlets, Instagram and Snapchat, and they also used the term lynch and the N-word. The students also went into details of how many bullets that they would use to kill one of the black female students on the list. Now, there are only 5 black students in the entire school. They created that list and said they were going to kill them all, even documented how many bullets they was going to use on one particular girl. Now, for most people would think that that's a threat. It's like a real threat, right? Because you post the list on Instagram and Snapchat and wherever the hell else, talking about lynching and killing every black student at the school. And several community organizations spoke out against the school officials and the local police for failing to take action because the police didn't even arrest them. The school didn't suspend them, nothing. How many bullets we're going to use? We're going to kill, lynch them. Them N-words. Now, I mean, we just saw, and we're talking about politics of the day, right? A dude was fired because he said the fags should go to hell. Yeah, which is a foolish religious belief, right? So it's one of them religious zealot type things. These dudes said, create a list, put it up on the internet for all to see. You know, so they was bragging about it, and we're going to kill them, and they say how many bullets they're going to use and all that. And yeah, nothing. They weren't punished, weren't reprimanded by school officials, and the police never made any arrests. Bizarre world. Because, as you know, arresting them would have made sense, being that they took terrorist threats, and made terrorist threats. You know, it would have made sense to arrest them, but in the bizarre world, it doesn't. See, because as we know, when there's evidence of racism, when there's complete and utter concrete evidence of racism, that's when you know the authorities are going to say, well, hey, it's just too much evidence. Something is wrong there. These kids are innocent. Because it's too much evidence. That there's no way that there's a problem here because, hell, they're out front racists. Bizarro logic. Yeah. And on that note, I'm going on break. This is Thurs, Rodney King.
Well, beware. one day will morph its way into a black plague of agony. Broken glass, burning buildings, coughing up black smoke. My pen will be a Molotov cocktail of hope for all those who sit silent, listening, contemplating violence, awaiting their turn to play their part in the uprising. Recall Rodney King, Ryan.
Together you guys. Drummer, smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drummer. It's your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was Thurs, Rodney King. Oh, speaking of Rodney King, let's go on into the Groundhog Day. Y'all know what it is. If you don't know, it's this right here.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
What is that shit that happened again? What can we pull that happened here in America? That happens every day, all the time. Doesn't even matter. Oh, I know. Up in Seattle, Charlena Lyles shot and fatally shot by the police. What makes it even worse? She was pregnant. Yeah, she was a mother of four, several months pregnant with her fifth child. She called the police reporting a burglary attempt at her house. And, of course, the police show up there. One thing happened after another. They said she may have suffered from mental illness. And so, you know, she may have said something. She may have acted a little erratic. Police shot her. Now, we know that there's the expectation that the police come. At least what you see on TV, the police come, they assess the situation correctly, and they handle it in an orderly manner, and things come out right. That's on TV. In the bizarre world, as we know it, as black folks, there's no expectation of justice or situations being handled in a normal manner. Now, I will say, I have been witness to police in an adversarial situation actually backing down, talking to the person, and no one got hurt or shot. I have actually seen that. So I can say I saw it right in front of my house, actually. But that is always overridden, how you want to say it? It's always overridden by police shooting a pregnant black woman, not with a gun. She just was shot. Now, of course, the mayoral candidates Bob Hasegawa and Nikita Oliver were in attendance, as well as the whatever that dude is, Macklemore. I guess they're there for support, whatever you want to call it. But the point is, shot by the police. It's a pregnant black woman, by the way. So we have added yet another way for a black person to be shot and threatening to the police. You know, remember, and as I say, we always got pointed out in the bizarre world, there is laying on the ground with your hands up, totally and utterly defensive, in the missionary position. Brother got shot. Being detained by the police because you have DVDs, and being shot. Oscar Grant, remember him right here, Fruitville. BART station, laying on the ground detained. Like, why am I on the ground detained? I didn't commit a crime. Shut up, pop. He shot, killed. Lando Castillo, we know, as the guy who had the nerve to have his car break down and, no, wrong person. There's so many. That's a different guy. Lando Castillo was the guy that was sitting in his car, told to get his driver's license. He got shot. See, it's so many. You can get them mixed up. It's so many different ways. Asked to get your driver's license, you got shot. Car broke down, put your hand on the car, the guy in Oklahoma City, he got shot, killed. So now, being pregnant, several months pregnant, with your four kids in the house with you, is another way to threaten the police. Because there is nothing more threatening than a pregnant black woman with her four babies in the background, because, you know, that's apparently some gang violence waiting to happen right there. And boom, shot and killed. Groundhog Day. And we won't say that pregnant women are shot and killed every day, but we're just saying black folks killed by the police in every way imaginable. Every shape, skin tone, size. Skinny, shot, kill. Fat, shot, kill. Pregnant female, shot, kill. Or hung in your jail cell mysteriously because you wanted to kill yourself because you don't know, but you wanted to kill yourself in the jail cell. I mean, there's so many ways. Or just leaving a party where there was a fight and you trying to get away. Pow, get shot by the police. Criminals, not so much. I'm still waiting on the shootout with the criminals. Because I've documented that everybody who's getting killed are not shooting at the police. The dudes that shoot at the police, they do not shoot and kill them. As I said, the brother in New Jersey, he shot at the cops. He shot a bystander. They allowed him to surrender. I'm like, well, shit. And like I said, I'm not advocating for, you know, the cops to shoot somebody, but, you know, if you're going to shoot somebody, shoot the criminal. At least that's what I thought. You shoot the criminal, not the non-criminal. But that's why I say we exist in the bizarro world, because in the bizarro world, you have to, if you're a cop, you have to shoot people who are non-threatening, because in the bizarre world they are threatening because they are non-threatening. Get it? It may take you a while to wrap your head around it, but you're black and you're listening. You're a danger if you're not a danger. Remember that. If you're not a danger, you're a danger. That's all you need to know. So, you know, it's right now it's the black lottery, but it's the lotto that is not the good lotto. Like, you know, black folks play the lotto like, hey, I'm gonna be rich. This is the death lotto. The police pull you over. Hey, you hit the winning numbers. You about to get gathered up. That's a lot of our expectation. I mean, especially now, I'm like, I'm scared to death. I don't want to win that lotto. It's like, I don't want to play either one of the lottos just in case. It's like, I'm playing the lotto, I win the other lotto. It's weird because this lotto, because I get stopped by the cops, I have committed no crimes. I'm not trying to commit any crimes. I'm a quote-unquote nerd, whatnot. I'm just a law-abiding citizen. my expectation is I'm going to get shot and killed because I'm a law-abiding citizen and I'm not trying to do anything just because, hey, I'm seen as a threat because I am doing what? I don't know. People say it has nothing to do with the color of your skin, but somehow it does. It all comes back to the same thing. And speaking of that, because I ain't want to end on that note, you know, I want to talk about Steve Harvey. You know, super Negro that he is. He made the joke, you know, talking about Michigan and, you know, y'all drinking brown water. Because, you know, he thought that was funny. And I guess if you know, the death of folks is funny to some folks, I guess it could be hilarious. I mean, if we analyze the joke correctly, because, hey, Cleveland lost, but y'all in Michigan, you from Flint, you got dirty water. it's like, I you know, you read it, you listen to him say it, it's like you keep waiting on the funny part that never comes. But no, doesn't never come. Because, you know, in the bizarro world, super Negroes like Steve Harvey, they can speak on this kind of thing, right? They can say, hey, it's funny. It's a joke. Y'all don't have a sense of humor. Yeah, it's been, what, 2014. It's been 3 years. 3 years of suffering. People having poison water, lead poisoning, getting cancer, and dying. No biggie, right? It's hilarious in the bizarro world. Now, you know, Steve Harvey said it's a joke. And I'm a comedian. This is what I do. But I ask y'all, did y'all find it funny? Could you find somebody who thought it was funny? When you do, let me know. In the meantime, I'm Mr. F the N-Word. This is another Smooth Drawing production. And I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast. Smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
Smooth.
Drama.